The Constructed Mennonite, written by Hans Werner, narrated by Ian Peters. A glossary of non-English names and terms used in the book can be found after the final chapter. Endnotes for each chapter can be accessed online at uofmpress.ca/accessibleaudio/constructedmennonite. Introduction. It was one of those March days in the southern Canadian prairies when the sun's warmth has the feel of spring, but the air still has an edge of winter. I traveled alone from Winnipeg to Steinbach, Manitoba, a small city 45 minutes away where I had grown up, to visit my father in the hospital. He had been diagnosed with stomach cancer some months earlier and had steadily been losing weight because he could no longer eat properly. When the surgeon performed exploratory surgery, it was I who had to tell my father there was nothing that could be done for his illness, and though it was not a subject he discussed, he knew he was dying. On this Sunday, I knew I would be alone with him, and the thought crossed my mind that the circumstances of my visit might free him to tell stories he had never told before. My father told stories about his life experiences for as long as I can remember, and together with my mother's autobiography, his stories of the Stalinist years in the Soviet Union, the experiences of the Second World War, and the immigrant experience in Canada framed who we were and are. The stories were fantastic tales for a boy growing up in a sleepy Mennonite town in southern Manitoba. My need to understand my father's stories became more acute when I became an adult. And in the 1980s, some 20 years before the March trip, I interviewed my parents more formally and tried to uncover any additional sources that could shed light on their remarkable life story. The primary subject of this book is my father's story and how it was told, and the book has two purposes. The first is to tell the life story of an otherwise ordinary person who experienced the upheavals of the 20th century in the form of war and totalitarianism from a unique perspective. As David Thielen says in an essay on the relationship between individual experience and history, this account of my father's life is an attempt to join the process of creating history with the experience of living life. Endnote 1. My father was born to Johann and Anna Jansen Werner in 1917, just after the Bolshevik Revolution. He was named Hans, and in the German-speaking community where he grew up, he kept that name until he went to school. Then, in Stalinist Russia, he became Ivan, and part of Stalin's hope to transform the Soviet Union into a strong, industrialized bastion of communism. When war enveloped the world, he fought as a Red Army soldier, first in the Winter War with Finland, then as a junior officer stationed on the German-Soviet frontier when the Nazi armies attacked the Soviet Union in June of 1941. A new era would begin for him when he was captured by the Germans, only to be resettled in occupied Poland, where he became Johann, was naturalized, and then drafted into Hitler's German army. He fought on the Western Front for the rest of the war before being captured by the Americans in April of 1945, a month before the war ended. He was a U.S. prisoner of war until 1946, when he was released and began trying to emigrate to Canada. Before that happened, he married my mother, a refugee with many of the same experiences, and after they finally arrived in Canada in 1952, his life in a new country would be marked by another name change. He became John and lived the life of an ordinary post-war immigrant finding his way in Canada. The series of names, Hans, Ivan, Johann, and John, while referring to the same person, mark the various ethnic and national identities that my father negotiated. Each name change in my retelling of his story marks a change in who he was. To his children, however, he was always Papa. His main credits were that he was a skilled auto mechanic, a good husband and provider, the father of a suburban post-war baby boom family. He was always an immigrant in the sense that he never spoke English fluently and was somewhat of an outsider because of his distinctly military past in a town with a sense of itself as a pacifist religious community. In her reference to Art Spiegelman's
Sample complete. Ready to continue?